Young and Dumb, a podcast for the young, dedicated, up-and-coming, motivated, and bold. Hear the journey of incredible individuals like you or I, who accomplish many things in their short lifetimes. Allow them to tell their story and share with you how they got to where they are today. And the best part yet is they're only just getting started. Welcome to the Young and Dumb Podcast.
Brandon just got back from being on tour with the Migos and Drake, so we had to give him the word tour. Time. It's interesting to see how much time played a part in this interview. From being able to see Wiz Khalifa on Twitter when he only had 100 followers, to getting on a call to go on tour only 2 hours before they left. Original. It's the sign of a great artist. Everyone can take pictures of a rap artist. But when Brandon does it, there's something about the photo that just pops. Unseen. He took 30,000 photos on his latest tour with Drake and the Migos, but only a handful of those will make it to the public eye. Rough. The road to touring is not always sunshines and rainbows. Brandon has been robbed, lost footage, and much, much more during his time on these tours. This week, we tour with Brandon.
Get Your Grinder presents another episode of the Young and Dumb Podcast with your co-hosts from the East Coast, Justin and Gary, checking in again. This time we're headed down to the ATL, checking in with Brandon from Atlanta. Brandon, say what's up to the people.
What's up?
I'm glad to have you. Get Your Grind Up. Love it. Love it. Love it. And we're so glad to have you on board with us today. You've worked with some of our childhood favorite artists, and we can't wait to get into that. But before we do, we want to take your journey and turn it into a loading bar. Okay. From 0 to 100%, where do you feel like you are right now on your loading bar?
Maybe like 60%. I think still a long way to go.
Dude, 60%. I mean, we were just chatting a little bit beforehand, and you said that you work with Wiz, Mac, Drake, Migos, Meek. It just keeps going on and on and on. But I want to dive into the very beginning. Who was the first person that kind of put you on to the music scene in terms of photography?
So my one friend, he used to make beats. He just took me to the studio. And ever since then, I've been, you know, doing like music videos around then. I wasn't doing photography at the time, but he ended up like passing away. And then, so ever since then, I just started shooting, you know, like staying within the music industry, like carrying on both our dreams. And then that's kind of just how it all started. So right around the time he was like coming to the studio, I used to just make like BMX videos, skateboarding videos. And then ever since I did that transition, it was music field like ever since then.
And 100% respect that, you know, carrying on your boy's dream and, you know, making really a killing doing it. And, you know, when you think of music, people typically don't think of photography, but you actually got your start with videography. And being from, though you're in Atlanta now, being from Pittsburgh, it's hard not to feel that music living there. I feel like it's such a music heavy city in that it's the sound is really ingrained in the people that live there.
Yeah, when I started in Pittsburgh, like I was shooting videos on the mini DV tapes. You know, the whole scene wasn't built then like it is now. But, you know, anytime you'd shoot a whole tape, an hour, you have to sit there for an hour to log the footage before you could edit it. And then, you know, just kind of did like that. And then I think that was around the time when like YouTube was starting to come up and Twitter. And then I hit Wiz on Twitter and was like, do you want to shoot? And that's kind of just how my first big project was. With them, so
that's crazy. Just hit Wiz.
He had probably 100 followers at the time. Twitter just came out.
Wow. I feel like if we knew the power of like the DM or just reaching out to people right when Twitter, Snapchat, and everything started to pop off, it could have worked wonders, especially in the podcast game. It would have been crazy because obviously you're a prime example with reaching out to Wiz when he only had 100 followers. Obviously, he's going to open that DM or see that message, right?
Yeah. Now it's just so many people.
Nah, definitely.
I still use Twitter, like, you know, to this day when everyone switched over to Instagram. I feel like, you know, the artists that still use Twitter, they'll check it. And now, since a lot of people moved over, they'll probably see you reaching out, wanting to shoot. I get a lot of opportunities off Twitter.
I mean, I feel like Twitter's algorithms really set for people to connect more than they actually realize. Just being able to reach out to individuals so easily, it's incredible. And I think it's unique as compared to different other social mediums. So I'm glad you're able to take advantage of that and make it your own. But with your craft and everything that you do, to say that that you got to this point by luck is absurd. There has to be some type of talent, some skill that you've honed in on. And just looking at the photos that you've taken, you can see that there's a lot of, you're a very talented individual. But where did you learn to hone in on your skills and sharpen your skills along the way?
Well, I'm self-taught, and like every day I've been doing just editing photos, whether if it's like a day that's not booked any shoots, I'll go edit and just stay editing, just always trying to find my like signature look. Kind of found it. So if you look at my Instagram, everything kind of looks the same, and I think that's like a big part of presentation, that's trying to get your next opportunity. It's like just having a flow of the same look. I post a lot of just rappers, music related stuff. You won't see my Instagram scattered, you know, with like other types of photography.
All right, so let us in on what it actually takes to edit a photo. Like, how much time are you actually putting into all this stuff? Because I feel like a lot of people who might not even be in the creative field, they'll look at photography and be like, oh, it's just a picture, right? But we all know there's so much more to it. Talk us through all of that.
Like, just using like Lightroom, the program, you could just sit there and do a million different color, you know, color ways and whatever. I always go off what I feel like is appealing. And, you know, sometimes I'll try different things, but usually I like made up my own preset. So I throw that on a photo and then maybe adjust exposure or whatever and like tweak it just a little bit so it cuts down the time.
Word. And with the art that you do, because, you know, photography is a form of art, what is your mindset while you're editing, you're crafting? What story are you trying to portray? What do you portray? What are you trying to get out of the scenes that you're surrounded by?
I think like a lot of times I try to like match a photo, even if it's old photo, to what's going on in the industry at the time. So if someone like releases a song and I have a photo of them, I'll put it up even if it's old. Then, you know, a lot of people might think that's recent or whatever. It helps you stay in the time and helps you grow at the same time. I feel that was a way to like get more business and opportunities.
No, I feel that. And it's kind of, I feel like that's a little hack, right? Like when you know someone's got a lot of attention, right? And you start putting up photos of them, then people are going to be searching it up regardless if they're using hashtags or whatever it may be. And then they find your stuff, right? And I think that's a hack that I think a lot of younger photographers could kind of look at and use. Do you have any other tactical advice for the young photographer out there that is looking to get into the music scene? Because I feel like the hardest is that first one, right? Getting your own Wiz or getting your Drake, whatever it may be, getting that first person. How does someone do that now?
I get a lot of like DMs about that, and I just say like go to shows where the artist might come into your town and shoot that for like free or whatever, just to get your name out there, build relationships, and then once you start growing your portfolio, people will see that and, you know, it'll go into your favor. If you want to just be an event photographer, portrait photographer, like tour photographer, you gotta just play that lane the whole time, you know, and really build on that and don't scatter around the different forms of photography. You know, you can shoot whatever, but if you're trying to build a certain look, then stay with that look, get in that field, you know.
Exactly. And I feel like niching is a really big thing, no matter what industry you're in, finding something that you're good at and that you can excel at and continuing with that. just so you can expand within that within that industry, and you can use that to brand yourself. So through your journey to where you are now, what are some of the road bumps that you've run into along the way?
A lot of the years, I didn't have any outlets to post my photos on. I'd always want XXL or Complex to post my photos, and that's always was hard in the beginning. And then after posting and going on a couple tours, people like that caught on, and that was always an issue with me, is that I always wanted an outlet to repost my stuff. And there's that. I've been robbed a couple of times, so I've lost camera gear, so that was a speed bump in the process.
That's crazy, man. I'm sure you've got tons of tour stories and everything like that. If you could pick one, tell us the craziest tour story. You don't have to say names, but whatever the craziest story that comes to mind right now, what is it?
Probably Migos and Drake tour. The whole tour, every night was a movie. It's just one big story. I don't really know what to put on it.
No, that's dope. I mean, because we were talking about it a little bit earlier before the podcast, that I actually went to one of the shows that you were shooting out here in Philadelphia, one of the a stop on the Aubrey and Migos
tour.
Yeah, so I mean, it was incredible. So I saw firsthand, up front of what that might have been like, but I can only imagine what it's like behind the scenes. So tell me some of the doors that being in the music industry and taking photos has unlocked for you beyond that.
I think just being on that tour, everything's starting to unlock a little more. So like I literally got the call this 2 hours before the bus left for the tour. Ever since then, I feel like more people have caught on than what they've done.
Yeah, definitely. So what is it? I feel like the question that a lot of people have is, what is it like to be around these A-list celebrities kind of on a daily basis? Are they acting the same way? Are they cool people? Like, how is it to interact with these types of people every single day?
Yeah, it's like they're just normal people, they're just grinding like you're grinding. You just got to do what you're supposed to do around them, and that everything's good. Like, they're just regular people at the end of the day. Couple times where I was like, oh, okay, I'm shooting for these people or that person, but at the end of the day, the process is the same for huge artists,
Okay. So give us a little bit of insight on your job specifically, because you spoke with us earlier and you stated that you are an arena artist. So what exactly does that mean?
Well, for the Migos and Drake tours, I think it was mostly hockey stadiums and basketball stadiums every night. But I've been on a couple of tours where it's been smaller venues, like House of Blues or something. The arena is just, it's like you're at a sporting event. So to shoot that is I guess the ultimate goal for a lot of photographers. And I still, every night since I've been off tour, I wish I was still in an arena shooting, because feeling's crazy just to be up there shooting. And all the special effects the artists have and all that is really cool.
So what type of access do you have while in the arena? Where can you go? What can you, can't you go? What can you do? What can't you do? Things like that.
I had all access. So I could go in front of the stage. I could run all the way up to the nosebleeds. I could go anywhere. And backstage, pretty much anywhere. But once you're backstage, you get the vibe if the artist wants, they want you to have the camera out or not. So a lot of times it was just chilling and waiting for the next set or waiting for figure out what they're going to do after the show.
What's the behind the scenes look at these tours, right? At these concerts, obviously when Drake comes on or Migos come on, they're hyped up. They're trying to perform and everything like that. But what goes on backstage that people don't see?
Amp each other up. Everybody kind of plays their position. Sometimes I wouldn't even walk up with them. I'd just go in the media pit, be ready when they come up through the stage. Just everyone just plays their position, getting ready, So as far as artists, they're just hyped up. Everybody around them is hyping them up. Every show is it's the first show. No energy has been lost through the whole tour.
And I feel like that's important for not only for artists, but everyone else, like yourself, who's a part of the production, to have that energy, that same energy into every show to make sure it's of its greatest quality. Which is incredible. But you've been in the music game for some time now. You've been taking photos and doing videography for going on 10 years. Where do you see yourself headed in the next couple years?
Hopefully, just I want to be on tour for the next 10 years. My goal, it's always been my goal, just to tour and have it every day different. It's different every day, but it's the same. I just always want to be on the move.
So you love that lifestyle, yeah. Just like every single day waking up in a new city.
And I always like riding the bus. Like you can edit on the bus, you can sleep on the bus. I've gotten the best sleep just like in laying in my bunk. So being on tours is the whole experience is fun.
So I hear that, and I can only imagine what it's like to be on a tour bus. You know, I've seen glimpses and pictures of, you know, the bunks and the dope setups they have with like games and kitchens, all that stuff must be incredible. But tell us what your favorite part of touring is.
Probably appearing just in a different city every day and like honestly just riding the bus through each state, you know, and just meeting new people.
What has been your favorite city to kind of shoot at or be in?
On this tour, I'd say Toronto and Montreal, just because I've never been to Canada. To walk around there and see the landmarks, that was cool. I'm a big like coffee drinker, so I like to try different local places in each city.
And along your travels, you've come a very long way. First from picking up the camera slash or any type of recording device and making your way to the big stage recording musical events in arenas. And we've taken a look at 60% of your journey so far. But if you could possibly give us a little insight into the future, what does 100% look like for you?
This is going to be cheesy, but for one, getting verified on Instagram.
I saw the egg post, yeah.
Going overseas, I really want to do that. It doesn't matter. I really want to go over there with an artist so I could still stay on the same path. But if that doesn't happen, then just traveling over there by myself, trying to make some content. So, I've already been on like about 4 tours, and it's always been in the U.S. But like I said, like this was the first time I went to Canada. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a common theme on our podcast. Like everyone who's been able to travel stresses that they want to just keep traveling, especially Gary. Gary loves to travel. He's been to Spain, China, England, all over Europe. So he's definitely one that can vouch for traveling. But with that, we get to move on to our favorite part, which is the deep thinking question. So, Brandon, are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so question number one. A lot of photographers take photos, then they edit them. But I want to know, do you think the beauty in photography is the actual photo, or is it the editing that comes with the photo?
I'd say the photo, and then being able to relive it through the editing, especially if some time's gone past. For example, I shot 30,000 photos on the tour, and every day since the tour's ended, I found a new photo, and it makes me relive the moment of me standing there with my camera.
Word. And if you had to give one piece of advice to all of our future photographers, arena photographers or music photographers or videographers in general, what would that piece of advice be?
On the days you're not booked, always edit something and just always kind of reevaluate your brand. Look at like the look of the brand. And I like every morning, it's like an athlete going to the gym. I go to the coffee shop and I'll edit some photos and just edit every day. I'm not getting paid for it, but it'll pay off when I get the big gig and I'll fly through those edits, you know?
Yeah, it's always constantly being ready for the next thing, right?
Like, right.
You gotta be prepared for when that right time comes. Like luck, I feel, is always hard work. Like luck to me is always being in the right place at the right time, or until it's the right time, right?
Yeah. Get out there and just shoot. And then those days where you don't have any jobs or anything going on, just edit. Even if you edit the same photo 10 times, just try new looks and it'll go a long way.
Exactly, man. I love that. So before we ask our last question, where can people find you? Where can they find your dope photos? And just give yourself a shout out.
So my website's brandondahl.com. My Instagram is Brandon Dahl and Twitter is Brandon Dahl. And then, like, basically, if you go to the website, you can just find all my social media platforms, including YouTube, merch. I make a lot of presets for photographers. I sell tour prints. Yeah, I'm trying to get the grind up.
I love it, man. All right, so final question. So you said you're at 60% of your loaded bar, right? So if we're going to take from 0 to 60% and turn it into one photo, what would that photo consist of?
I mean, it might have to be the Drake photo that Drake posted. That was one of the craziest shots. But I mean, I could pull up a lot of Migos photos that changed everything too. So I can't pick between.
And I know what you mean. Like, being on that tour and seeing that show, it was honestly made my life. That's it for me. Like, I'm good. My bucket list is checked. Like, I've been to a Drake show. It's done.
Every night, man, it was the same show, but it felt like I've never seen it before.
It's incredible. I still remember that yellow Lambo flying through the sky, but it's a great time. Brandon, I wanted to take this opportunity to extend a huge Get Your Grind Up thank you for coming onto the podcast, dropping some knowledge, and having a good time with us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Definitely subscribe to this podcast. We're going to have a lot of creators come through.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And for all of you wanting to know a little bit more about Brandon, hop on our website, getyourgrindup.com, where you can follow us on social, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Get Your Grind Up. As you already know, we are back with the fire all 2019, so we'll be back very soon with another podcast episode. Always remember, we are all young and dumb.
And never forget, Get Your Grind Up.
See you guys soon. Peace.
Peace.